Venerable sirs and friends. This morning we studied the Heart Sutra, the Hridaya Sutra. And the Heart Sutra has been very rightly described by Dr. Edward Conze as one of the sublimest spiritual documents of mankind. But sublime as it is, or perhaps we may say, on account of its very sublimity and profundity, it is not very easy to understand. In fact, it's quite difficult to understand. But I do hope that as a result of this morning's talk, aided perhaps by your own intuition, it has been possible for everybody to understand at least something of the meaning of the Heart Sutra, to have at least a glimpse of the truth which the Heart Sutra enshrines. But we all know that however much or however little we might have understood, however bright that glimpse might have been, it's still very, very difficult to put what we have understood into practice and to embody it in our lives, in our day-to-day activities and behavior. Socrates used to be fond of saying that to know the good was sufficient. Doing, he said, doing the good would automatically follow. Well, that no doubt was true for Socrates, but it isn't true for very many people. It's true for very few people indeed. It isn't really for the vast majority as easy as that. So therefore we find, 100 or so years later, we find Aristotle, for instance, criticizing Socrates for ignoring what he called the irrational parts of the soul. These irrational parts of the soul, Aristotle says, Socrates left altogether out of account. This brings us to what is, if not the basic problem, certainly one of the basic problems of the spiritual life, upon which we've touched more than once before in previous talks. And that is the problem, or the question, of how to translate being, how to translate knowing into being. To know the truth, to understand the truth, to gain an intuitive glimpse of the truth, is difficult enough, as we all know. But to embody it in one's being, to embody it in one's life, one's activities, one's behavior, this is 100 times more difficult. Buddhism, as a whole, is very much concerned with this problem, this great problem of how to translate knowing into being. And it draws attention to the problem and the difficulty of the problem in its distinction between what it calls the path of vision and the path of transformation. Now, this whole subject was dealt with at length in the course of the series of talks which we had here on the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path some months ago. And some of you, I do know, attended that series, and you may remember what was said on that occasion. The path of vision we then saw represents the initial spiritual insight or experience. What starts one off, as it were. Sometimes this insight or experience comes, as it were, spontaneously. This is the experience of quite a number of people. It suddenly strikes them, or it suddenly overwhelms them. They get a sudden, unaccountable glimpse, if not of the truth, of some higher and wider dimension of being and consciousness. All of a sudden, apparently without previous preparation. Sometimes again, this initial insight or experience may come as a result of study, may come as we're reading a book, or musing upon some passage that we've read. It may come when we are concentrating our minds, or trying to concentrate our minds, when we are meditating, and so on. It may come at any time, any place, under any circumstances, in any way, either, as I said, spontaneously or in connection with one or another of these other activities, whether religious or otherwise. So this initial vision or insight or experience, this is known in Buddhism as the path of vision. The path of transformation represents the gradual transformation of one's whole life according to that vision, according to that insight, according to that experience. And the second path, therefore, the path of transformation, is very much longer and very much more difficult than the first, the path of vision. In the series of the Noble Eightfold Path, the path of vision is represented by the first step, that is to say, by what is known as perfect vision, usually translated as right understanding. But the path of transformation is represented by all the other seven steps, that is to say, by perfect emotion, perfect speech, perfect action, perfect livelihood, perfect efforts, perfect awareness, and perfect samadhi. These all represent the working out of the insight, of the initial experience, in terms of different aspects of one's life and activity. Now the question arises, why should all this be so? Why should it be so difficult to translate knowing into being? Why shouldn't we all be like Socrates, able to know the good and immediately do the good, without any sort of hiatus between the two? Why should the path of transformation be so long and difficult compared with the path of vision? What is it in us which prevents us, which hinders us from making the transition, as it were, immediately from the path of vision right onto the path of transformation in its fullness, in its completeness? What is it that stands in the way?